This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, yes, a morning filled with foreboding. We all fear the events that will become upon us a little later today. And ironically, we have rainy weather. We have a storm approaching Israel. Storm Coral, I'm told, is what they've called it. We're expecting quite wintry weather and even snow in Jerusalem over the weekend. And just in the last half an hour or so, it's really started to rain down. And I just wonder whether that just reflects the sadness that we feel today about what's about to happen.
It's almost this notion of a pathetic fallacy. What is expected to happen?
So just a few little updates about the release of the four bodies of the Israeli hostages from Gaza, which is expected today. First of all, there was a little storm yesterday, not a physical storm, but a storm that surrounded the Prime Minister's office and the IDF about the fact that there was a formal announcement that came out from somewhere in Israel. I'm not exactly sure who was the source of the formal announcement, that the four bodies that will be released today are indeed those of three members of the Bibas family, Shiri, Kfir, and Ariel, and also Odette Lipschitz, all of whom were kidnapped from kibbutz near Oz on October the 7th. And the storm was that the members of the Bibas family themselves were not formally made aware of this announcement before it was made public. And I think that they have an axe to grind. I think they have a valid point to make, that until such time as one of the bereavement officers from the IDF knock on their door, or a member of the Prime Minister's office knocks on their door to say, this is what we now know for sure, this is what we know is going to be happening, it shouldn't be made public. And it reminds me a little bit of what happened last week in the Prime Minister's office, when the Prime Minister's office put out a press release to say that the names of the hostages that had been made public on Friday were acceptable. They used the Hebrew word mekubal, which is acceptable. And then the Prime Minister ordered that this be backtracked and withdrawn. And they put out a statement saying, not that the names were acceptable, but the names had been received. And in Hebrew, the word that they used was hitkabel. They had been received. And then they explained that the reason for the confusion was because there was a typo. And instead of using the word hitkabel, they used mekubal. And there was some sort of a typo. And of course, we all understand that that wasn't the case, that it's just some sort of an excuse that's been put out. But there is certainly some sort of a breakdown in the communications that are coming out from the government and the IDF, which I think needs some urgent attention in order to fix that. Because again, yesterday, unfortunately, members of the Bibas family have been let down by this going out all over social media and all over formal announcements, rather than, first of all, somebody knocking on their door to explain what is about to be made public. So just to go back to try to answer your question, Howard, about what we're expecting today. We've been told that in about 45 minutes from now, there will be some sort of a ceremony in Gaza, which will involve the handing over of these four bodies to members of the International Committee of the Red Cross. And they will then hand them over to the IDF. I understand that there will be a ceremony when the bodies are received by Israeli soldiers, IDF, when they come back into our hands, there will be a ceremony of some sort at that moment. I'm not sure if that will be in Gaza or whether that will be beyond the borders in Israel already. And then the bodies will be taken directly from there to the Forensics Institute in Tel Aviv for proper DNA identification. And I'm guessing some sort of a check on the state of the bodies to try to understand exactly how these people died. Let's not forget that Shiri Bibas and her two infant sons, Kfir and Ariel, were kidnapped from their home on Kibbutz Ner Oz on October the 7th. According to what Hamas has told us, and of course we can't believe everything or perhaps even anything that they say, according to what they say, they were held in captivity for 20 days after October the 7th, and then on the 21st day, they were killed by Israel attacking the site where they were being held. And so that's something of an attempt to try and lay the blame for their deaths on Israel. And I think if the world's moral compass is in the right place, then one has to begin by asking the first question: how can it be that a woman and two young children are taken into captivity, are held hostage for even 1 hour? Forget about a day or 20 days. How can there be any justification to holding people like that in captivity? And the same can be said for Oded Lipschitz, who was a founder of Kibbutz Ner Oz. He was someone who spent a lot of time traveling backwards and forwards to the border from the kibbutz, to the border of Gaza, to pick up Gazan children who needed medical treatment in Israel. And he was the one who would go there and pick them up and take them to wherever they needed to go for their medical treatment in Israel. And of course, we can open questions about Israel providing medical treatment to children in Gaza in spite of the situation and in spite of Israel being under rocket attack constantly from Gazan terrorists. And we can talk about Oded Lipschitz and how he was a peace lover and really promoted the idea of cooperation and coexistence between the members of the Israeli Gaza community, Gaza border community, as he was, and residents in Gaza, and really wanted to see a peace and a peaceful coexistence. And yet he was the one who was kidnapped from his home and killed, in spite of him being a peace lover. Or according to some people, you see, he was a peace lover and this is what he got for trying to promote that sort of a relationship. But I think that what we need to see in Oded Lipschitz is the Jewish way. He just saw them as people who needed help. Forget about who they were or where they were or what their situation was or bearing a grudge against them or their members of their family or the rulers. He just saw children who needed help and he volunteered to go and help them. And that is the Jewish way. That is the way that we are raised to believe, not to kidnap young children and hold them hostage with their mother. And unfortunately, the final picture that we saw of Shiri on the day that she was kidnapped, with that look of fear etched all over her face as she tried to protect her two young children, will be the last image that many of us will remember about her. A young woman, innocent, and trying to protect her children, being taken into hostage and evilly killed by people who seem to have little heart and little desire to cooperate or to coexist or to live alongside us. And I will never be able to look at a redhead infant in the same way ever again, because every time I see a redhead baby, I will always have the image of the Bibas boys in my mind. I just will never be able to escape from that. And unfortunately today, this all comes bubbling up as we accept the bodies back and we bring them for their rightful burial way too soon. Way too soon.
You know, when you're talking about redheads, I was thinking earlier as well, actually was looking at something on social media last night, and it happened to be somebody who had put pictures of their kids, and I quickly scrolled on because I can't look at pictures of babies on social media because I don't know if it's somebody showing us babies who have been murdered, or and I realize the impact that this has had on us, on in every aspect, in every area of our lives, we have really been. We have, no matter where you are in the world, if you feel for this, we've been terrorized by Hamas.
And traumatized.
Yeah.
We have been traumatized. As a nation, we are traumatized. And our trauma will really come to a head today, because this is the epitome of evil. You know, taking soldiers, dealing with adults, whatever, you know, all of those things, none of which can be justified or defended. But when you look at these children, then it just takes that evil to a whole new level. Really, I just can't get my mind around the fact that anybody could want to hold a mother and two children in captivity for any period of time. There can be absolutely no defense. And the fact that they're trying to lay the blame of their deaths on Israel for attacking the site where they were kept is just a weak attempt to try to justify an absolutely indefensible set of actions. And there's no regrets, no regrets.
Well, there doesn't seem to be. Anthony, I'm getting photos and updates of a stage that's being set up with pictures of Netanyahu as though he is a vampire with blood dripping down the side of his mouth, and in that blood as it drips is a photo of the Bibas family.
So again, there's a real attempt just to lay the blame of their deaths on Israel and of course on Netanyahu, which I think is misguided. The problem for me, and Howard, you know this very well, is that people will believe that. People will look at it and say, yes, that's exactly who is to blame for all of this. And those people are not only people outside of Israel. There are some people even within Israel who say, that is the fault of our government. That is the fault of our leadership. You know, they are the ones to blame. But I think right now, as much as we might be able to say that that our government and our leadership have questions to answer about the events in general on October the 7th and about the security that was afforded to residents of southern Israel in general, there are questions to answer about that. But right now, when you talk about the Bibas family and Oded Lipschitz and other hostages whose bodies are yet to be returned to us, because there are more, I think that we have to put the blame where it is, where it rightfully belongs. And we need that narrative to go out to the world somehow. And I don't really know how we do that. I'm certainly no media expert, but I don't know how we do that. But somehow we need this message to go out that this is really the fault of Hamas. And not only that, they've said that they will do it again. Given another opportunity, they will absolutely do it again.
So Anthony, here's my concern.
Nobody hears this.
Well, no matter what the message, do you think they will hear it? If after October the 7th, they made us share videos and photos, because first they denied it, even though Hamas filmed it. Then they denied the rape. Then they found one little bit of information that wasn't accurate, and they keep talking about that information. Then they tell you that Israel did a lot of the killing. And then if you choose not to feel for it, number one, and if you choose never to hold Hamas or the Palestinians responsible, then nothing we can show them will make them think that Hamas is responsible. Because if you're given an out and you want an out, you'll take it. So if the out is that Israel in the airstrikes inadvertently killed the family, then that's what you're going to believe, and you'll say Israel did it. You'll stop there and say you won't hold Hamas responsible for stealing babies and a mother from their beds. So I think it's important to get the message
out. Right.
I don't think anybody who doesn't want to believe it is going to believe it or going to feel for us. They don't.
I agree with that, and I, you know, the counter to all of this, because of course we will experience funerals, if not later today then tomorrow, of these four who are being returned to us today. And then on Sunday in Beirut, they will have the funeral for Hassan Nasrallah, who finally will be laid to rest after having been killed in the bunker that he was in Dahiya neighborhood in Beirut all those months ago. And the lead up to this funeral has been just incredible. And it has really shown Lebanon in an entirely different light, starting already last Friday, where the Lebanese government stopped flights coming from Tehran because the Israeli and the American governments forced them to stop those flights. Why? Because the flights were being used to bring money to Hezbollah from Iran. So the flights between Iran and Beirut have now stopped. And in fact, a number of airlines have said they're not going to be flying to Beirut on Sunday because of the funeral that's taking place. But they expect to be hundreds of thousands of people at the stadium where Nasrallah's funeral will take place. And there's been lots of advertising about the coffin, which is this yellow with the Hezbollah symbol, and the number of dignitaries who are going to be invited. And Lebanon has been thrown into a lot of turmoil over all of this. And then we sort of contrast all of that drama and what's happening there to what we're going to be experiencing over the next few days, our own funerals. We are waiting today with bated breath. And, you know, we should all really come together at this moment to recognize who is truly responsible for this, and to draw some conclusions, not in a divisive sort of way, but in a united way. We need now to really pull together. I apologize for running over time, Howard, but the emotions are very, very high today. And, you know, we will talk more on Monday about what we've experienced during the course of today and the next few days.
Indeed, Anthony Rock, thank you as always. Wishing you strength for today, tomorrow, the weekend. And we'll, of course, catch you on Monday morning for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.